Blog Talk Radio.
Happy holidays. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show with Dave and Laurie. We thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Franklin in Florida.
Hi, everyone. Hope everyone's had a beautiful Christmas and a happy Hanukkah. This is Laurie Pickles from Michigan. It's been a long week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have a great show for you lined up tonight. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's upcoming inauguration. Why do you think the Democratic Party lost the presidency? You know, your thoughts and opinions, that's what matters most on the show. The number to call is 619-789-1959. Like us on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. So we can all agree that 2016 was absolute shit. You know, and as now Trump comes in as the 45th president of the United States, what does it mean for the United States and the rest of the world? What are your thoughts on Ivanka Trump playing the role of First Lady? What is Melania Trump's role in a Trump-Pence administration, if any? The Trump cabinet picks, is it horrible or is it excellent? Will Democrats, you know, pick up the slack or continue to be spineless and cowardly? What lessons did you learn from the election cycle just passed, and where do we go from here? So let the festival of fucker begin as we contemplate the inauguration of this corrupt man, Donald J. Trump. His oath of office is, as you know, January 20th, 2017, starting at noon. Will you watch? So thanks for pressing like, share, remind, and follow buttons. We're very, you know, thankful that people call in, listen, share, comment on our Facebook page, and even follow the show. So this is Kitchen Politics 123 with Dave and Laurie. Don't raise your voice. Raise your argument. 619-789-1959 is the number to call, and I still will have one person from a 248 error code. We'll get to them shortly. So, you know, you say you wanted to start out with the Trump's cabinet picks?
Yes, I did. Just so we have an idea of what we have to look forward to after January the 20th, is it? I've actually blocked that day out of my mind, so I have a hard time with that. My birthday comes up a little bit after that, a couple of days later, so it's not a very good birthday present or pre-birthday present. But anyways, I'll get on to these are the Senate confirmations that do not require the cabinet confirmations that do not require the Senate confirmation. First of all, we have counselor Kellyanne Conway. She is his former campaign manager, confidant, and spokeswoman. Ms. Conway has also been a pollster, has a pollster background, and therefore may rely on his skills to set tabs on public sentiment. The director of Trade Industrial Party Policy is Peter Navarro. He has new position that will oversee trade and industrial policy in the White House and direct an internal council that will run alongside the National Security Council, the National Economic Council, and the Domestic Policy Council. He holds a doctorate from Harvard, is the only one credentialed economist in Mr. Trump's inner circle. Mr. Navarro has been a staunch critic of current Chinese economic policies. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Special Advisor on Regulatory Reform is Carl Icahn, I-C-A-H-N. Mr. Trump has appointed him. Icahn. Mm-hmm. He's appointed him a billionaire investor and famed corporate raider who buys large stakes in companies and then forces policy changes to benefit shareholders. Mr. Icahn, who was an economic advisor during the campaign, is a longtime friend of Mr. Trump. That's beautiful.
And you notice, I didn't mean to cut you, but you notice that most of them are billionaires or millionaires in this cabinet. The thing about Dren Kwan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
The press secretary.
Okay, listen. Yeah. Okay. So we continue, but let's take this call because the person been holding from Seattle, Washington. Welcome, Seattle, Washington. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight? Hello, Carla. You're on air. Okay, I guess the person's shy and just rather listen. No problem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go ahead now. The press secretary will be who?
The press secretary and special assistant to the president is Sean Spicer. The press secretary is the face of the White House and representative to the president, framing messaging, responding to stories of the day, and briefing the press. He's a longtime spokesperson for the Republican National Committee and top aide to Reince Priebus, who is incoming chief of staff and press for his selection. While Mr. Spicer will be the face of the communications team, he will work with Jason Miller, director of communications, and Hope Hicks, director of strategic communications. Secretary of State, Rex W. Tillerson. He is Mr. Trump's choice. He is the president and chief executive of ExxonMobil, whose ties with Russian President Vladimir Putin. This may draw a little bit of a problem, in my opinion. He would be Secretary of State, and yet he is, chief executive of ExxonMobil. Conflict of interest there, not fair.
Well, he has to resign as CEO for ExxonMobil. But his business interests in Russia, that's a conflict of interest right there. Today, the president-elect said he's going to, get rid of his or close down his company, he's going to close down, Trump, the business interest in Trump because the obvious conflict of interest, and for draining of the swamp, I think that's so ridiculous that he chose, these people as cabinet positions. Looking, for example, Attorney General designate Jeff Sessions. Back in 1981-82, Ronald Reagan put him up for a Supreme Court position. And thank God Ted Kennedy was there to fight at every step of the way, Joe Biden, the current vice president, and others, stepped up to the plate and really filibustered Jeff Sessions becoming a Supreme Court justice. Now he's going to be attorney general. He's anti-gay. He's anti-LGBT. And all laws that Obama's put forward, and even the Clinton administration, is going to be rolled back under his watch, So when they talk about drain the swamp, I think that's ridiculous because it's filled with swamp. So swamp people. So 248 air code number, that's Washington State. Hello, Washington. Seattle, Washington, you're on air.
That's Michigan.
No, 248. Okay, is it Michigan? Michigan, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi,
hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How are
yes,
you?
Yes, I have one error.
I was just trying to remain incognito and listen, but it's okay.
Oh, yes, ma'am. What do you think about the Trump? What do you think about the Trump, you know, nominees
you think,
for different positions?
What do you think I think? David Bannon is a Nazi. I'm Jewish. David Bannon is a Nazi
mm-hmm.
supporter.
Yep.
Trump's
absolutely.
Father was a KKK member, and the KKK is out in different states going into trying to get into synagogues to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I think about all this? The guy that he picked for Israel is a disaster,
mm-hmm.
the ambassador to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes,
indeed. Betsy DeVos, first they're going to disseminate Detroit public schools, which is where I'm retired from, and then they're going to go after the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no
mm-hmm.
doubt. But at a time.
What do you think about
Absolutely.
Betsy DeVos being education secretary? Because she has no degree
DeVos,
in education.
She has no training. All she knows how to – she went to private school. Her children go to private school. All she knows how to do is make money in charter school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's, and not only that, she's a billionaire in her own right also,
yeah.
isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a billionaire. Isn't she Amway? Isn't that
yes.
Amway?
Husband, she and her
yeah,
husband
so.
Make a fortune
exactly.
in Amway, and all they do is scam people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So this is what we have to look forward to.
I was
mm-hmm.
hoping that the – I was really hoping that the electors would go back on their decision, but I guess they weren't. They were too chicken to do that, except for the four.
Yeah, either too chicken, and they're also, from what I've been told, very close-knit, so to speak. You know, money talks. So.
I think we need to get rid of the Electoral College.
Yep, need to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because... The Electoral College is from 1700s, you know, and ever since FDR days, you know, when communications, we had telephone, we had, you know, we had different means of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So it got obsolete. So since FDR days till now, Electoral College should have been gone.
They didn't vote on my behalf.
No, no,
they didn't vote on my behalf.
Didn't. Mm-hmm. And how can a candidate get 3 million votes and not win the presidency? Should one person, one vote, the majority win? But no, you know, it's really ridiculous. And the world laughs at us because we have this old system that is out of date and obsolete, but yet still use it. You know? And I bet you any money, if Republicans, if the shoe were on the other foot, the Republicans would say, yes, get rid of the Electoral College, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah.
What do you think?
They'd be on it so far.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. I don't know why we have them. The people voted, and they
mm-hmm.
away with the people's vote.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you two ladies think about Ivanka Trump playing the role of First Lady?
About the what?
First lady, she doesn't hold a candle. She does not hold a candle to Michelle Obama. That's my opinion. Not a candle.
Who are we talking about? I didn't hear.
Ivanka.
Well, how is she going to be the first lady when she's his daughter?
Not Ivanka.
No.
Her daughter. No.
Yeah, Ivanka
is not coming to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it is said that, you know, she played a role as first lady. Like how,
mm-hmm.
you know, Melania Trump will be staying in New York, you know, to raise Barron Trump and, you know, when school is out.
She's
got
probably in a
done.
Special school and she needs to stay home with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's
mm-hmm.
right. Because why are we going to be paying for two separate homes? So we'll have
why
to pay...
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are they so special? She should have to go to Washington, D.C., go to the White House like everyone else has. She's not special. She's not anyone you know, in my opinion. Not anyone special at all. Maybe with his family.
I'm sure they can find a school for Barron in Washington.
You know, exactly. He should have to go to school like everyone else did, you know, where they belong, in Washington. That's what he asked the job that he wanted, so family goes with him.
Why are his adult children sitting in on meetings?
And I have no current. Yeah, exactly. I have no...
I mean, the whole thing...
Yeah, go ahead.
The whole thing is ridiculous. We're going to become a communist country because he's friends with Putin.
Right, right. I want to come with more a totalitarian oligarchy, you know. Corporate people fill the cabinet positions. There are billionaires and millionaires. And so when Trump, you know, prompts to drain a swamp, he's filling it with swamp people, the old people with the old ways, you know. And, you know, people from far back as Richard Nixon days will be advising him. Dick Cheney will be an advisor, special advisor to the president, has been reported. You know, so what does Cheney have anything to do? You know, Cheney should retire, go away, die, you know. But no, we'll have Cheney back in his hands back in the mix. You know, I think it's atrocious. We have another call coming in. Texas, Robin calling from Texas. What's your input, Robin? What do you think?
Well, I'm just disillusioned at everything. And I still, it's like a nightmare. And my problem is, okay, with the wife, what are they shielding her from? You know, Michelle Obama was running, they picked apart her education. They were saying she was not qualified. Okay, well, we know that they erased the school information on the wife. Okay. That disappeared off the website. I'm questioning her citizenship, and I'm questioning her education, and I'm questioning her experience. That is what I'm questioning, because it sounds like her husband has set up everything for her, that she revolves around him, and he does the negotiations or whatever, you know. I don't know what her passion is besides fashion. Does anybody know what she cares about? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, she had an interview. She was saying that she'd concentrate on internet bullying to stop that. You know, and I think it's a joke, because who's the biggest bully on Twitter and on Facebook than her husband, Donald J. Trump? You know?
Exactly.
So when she said, oh, yes.
But my problem is the president that we have now has been the only president in my lifetime that I've seen that is capable of doing his job and has been well liked around the world. I don't know anybody that doesn't like him. You know, except for like Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, the same haters, you know. And, but the mainstream media, everything that we get from the elected officials here, all they do, and the media, all they do is say nasty, disparaging things about this president for 8 years. They have been consistent on their hate and their disdain. Because he's an African American, and they've done it to his wife and his family for 8 years. But when this man travels outside the country, you won't see it on mainstream media. You will never see anything. And I've watched with my own eyes, because I have, purposely gone out and looked for other media outside this United States. And they have given this president the warmest, loving, kindest reception, where millions of people are on the streets waving. Whatever country he's in, they respect him as a world leader. And absolutely, I've never seen any of our presidents that we've ever had in my lifetime bring that kind of respect and dignity and love and unity. Something is wrong with the people in this country, and it's the money, and the money is racist. That is what it is. And what they have done is the most ugliest thing that I've ever seen in my lifetime, you know?
Absolutely.
And my problem is that no one, and it is not a black people's problem. It is not my problem because I'm African American. It is not my problem to have to deal with racism, which is the ugliest stain in America ever. It's the ugliest thing that has never been dealt with, that has never, no reparations for African American people. It is not our job to talk to people about race. We're not prejudiced. We don't have the problem. It's one group of people that have the problem, and they use it in every election. Only this election is the vilest I had ever seen, you know, and for 8 years. It's not our problem to do more talking about it, you know. It's the white race that needs to come to grips with their problem that they have, that they've done, and they do it to divide. That
hey, Martha,
is why they do it.
Marta, do you think that our party, our progressive Democrats here in Michigan, are fighting the Republican machine in our, you know, in Lansing, just fighting, period, for us? Do you see that happening in Michigan?
I don't see enough Democratic people showing any interest.
Yeah.
In our government. I mean, I don't see it evident.
I don't either. I think there are people out there that do have passion that may be up and coming, but the ones that are in office right now are kind of sitting back, you know, in full force. It's almost a scary thing. You hear about them every once in a while doing something, but nothing that makes a big difference, especially in Michigan.
They're terrified,
Lori. Schneider should be in jail for Flint's water.
Oh, no doubt. Well, we know that.
He used taxpayer money to for himself to fight this Flint deal, and he used taxpayer money to take the teachers' 3% that they owe us, the state owes us, and take it from the Court of Appeals, which said give it back, to the Supreme Court.
Yep. There's all kinds. I mean, it goes on and on with him. You know, the story goes on and on.
It's really disgusting, and I've had it. And I live in hope that we find a good set of Democrats to run soon, because otherwise we're in real trouble.
Yes, I want to ask a general question, adding on to Laura's question. Nationally, the Democratic Party has Chuck Schumer as minority leader, Nancy Pelosi as the minority leader in the House. Do you think Robin and Martha and then Laurie, do you think Democrats will stand up boldly and challenge them on their every turn, or will it be, as usual, Democrats falling? And as according to some people,
the state, or are we talking about the federal?
Well, the federal in general.
I'm still trying to get Debbie to answer my phone calls. I'm in her office to answer my phone calls.
You know what? I'm sorry, but they're the problem. The establishment is the problem. The Barbara Boxer is leaving, and the other lady. She was there for 45 years. Look at the progress of where we are at 45 years with Democrats. Where are we since Martin Luther King died and the Civil Rights Act, which they're called acts, okay? What are acts? acts are something that take place before they become law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have sat mm-hmm. on their hands because they're taking corporate money and making deals because they don't care about us. I don't know mm-hmm. what people don't understand. They really don't care about us. And as long as we keep reelecting the same people, you know, because those are the same people that wouldn't work and ran like the plague in 2010 away from President Obama. That, and they still don't understand why they lost. When in 2010, all these candidates that were running that were really good were begging for help. Hey, come here, come help us, send us some money, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nobody would help them do anything because the establishment doesn't want good people. They
I would like to know from you guys, too, because I have a lot of Jewish friends who are saying that Obama didn't stand up in the United Nations for Israel. What is your opinion
mm-hmm.
of that?
Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
No, I was
to me. Well, one at a time, though. The thing about it, though, is Barack Obama bent backwards for Bibi Netanyahu, even though, you know, he disrespected the president on many occasions, and, you know, give Israel what they wanted when they wanted it, with no hassle, no nothing. But yet still, the people in Flint, Michigan suffering, 2 years and counting, there's no help. People in inner cities like Cleveland, Chicago, New York, everywhere, nothing, you know, in terms of education, infrastructure, health, you know, nothing. So, you know, when you know, people are criticizing Barack Obama on Israel, you know, I think it's all hogwash, and it's just, it boils down to just racism. They hate a man because of his skin color, and that's it. No matter what he does or try to do, they criticize it and say no.
My veterinarian is a very intelligent woman, and she does not hate him, but she was very upset with him today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because she said that he showed his true colors when he and he's the first anti-Israel president that she can remember.
He is not anti-Israel. And to me this is a touchy subject because I can already tell by your language and what you're saying. He is not, and he has always worked with Israel. It's just that, you know what?
Because I'm not sure I know what he actually did with the
He abstained. He abstained. Mm-hmm. That's what he did.
From the vote?
Yeah, he just did not get
That's
involved.
Right.
Basically,
and
yeah.
why should he?
He stayed neutral.
Okay.
And that is what he
so
did.
So what do you think? So, Martha, what do you think about, you know, Palestinians having their own independent state? You think they could share the land with Israel? Or, you know, what's your opinion on that?
I don't live in Israel, so it's hard for me to say. But I know that there's parts of Israel that are very disrupted and there's parts that are very calm. And a lot of it has to do with the tension between Israel and Palestine. And one would hope that they could work together, but it hasn't worked out yet. So I don't know what to think because I'd like to see them have a settlement if they could, but it depends on where they want it. You know, some of that land is Israel's land for millions, you know, thousands of years, you know. And I don't think land should just be turned over to them.
No, but Martha, with all due respect, it's not Israel's land. The reason being, in 1948,
you know, when all the repatriations from Europe, they wanted somewhere, and, you know, United Nations gave them this land, the Palestinians were on this land, and they fought the 8-day war for it, they fought and got the Golan Heights, and, you know, everybody started to hate Israel because they formed this independent state right in the middle of the Middle East. And, you know, people got resentful, you know. So, you know, I mean, it's a touchy subject, as Robin say, where from biblical days.
You have to remember that Israel absorbed a lot of refugees from Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And had a lot more people all of a sudden at that time than they were expecting to have. But they absorbed them because they had to have a place to go, a safe place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because President Roosevelt wouldn't let the ships in. He turned boatloads of children away from America,
mm-hmm.
went to Cuba,
mm-hmm.
or went to England.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they weren't allowed to emigrate to the United States, so Israel had to take them. Some country had to take them, and Israel took them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had a lot more people than they knew they were going to have at the time.
Because mm-hmm. I'm pro-Israel, but I'm anti-Netanyahu. Reason being is that what the Nazis did to the Jews in Europe, Netanyahu is doing to the people of Palestine. And I say that, you know, peace can be had if Bibi Netanyahu, you know, is you know, driven out of office, and, you know, Israel has a prime minister that can work with Palestine. Not saying the Palestinians are angels, because both sides have the good and the bad.
Argument. Both sides have their good parts,
mm-hmm.
their good,
mm-hmm.
and so both sides have their bad parts, you know, their bad sides. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's like children fighting. But it's very sad because they should try to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the land did belong to Palestine originally, so I'm, you know.
Not to change the subject, but what does everyone think about the energy secretary that Donald Trump appointed? He appointed Rick Perry, who in 2011 proposed scrapping the energy department while he was seeking the Republican nomination for president. Now he's going to be our energy secretary. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Every person he has picked is wrong for the job he's picked them for. He's only picked them because they have money and power.
It's awful.
People we picked wants those departments shut down because they want smaller government. So how the hell they expect the government to function when they want all these departments, education, energy, EPA, wherever, to shut down? How can we operate and have infrastructure and build America and make America go forward if they want to close all these departments? I mean, it don't make any sense. And the people who voted for Donald Trump and make sense, they're going to learn the hard way. I hope they suffer the most, because what transpired here, especially in Wisconsin, where I heard that people were turned away, or the provisional ballots torn up, or ballots being lost, with a majority of them being for Hillary Clinton. A lot of shenanigans went on, but the media didn't report it. You know, so according to question, you know, him winning Wisconsin and him winning Michigan, because Michigan is one of the bluest states there was. You know, how can Trump win Macomb County? Macomb County, since Eisenhower days, is solidly blue. It don't make any sense. Something is wrong.
Something is wrong, but no one is doing anything about it. They all backed off, didn't they? So
yes, they did. And until that gets resolved, we're going to have the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on
Social Security and a pension from the state of Michigan, and I'm really concerned about the fact that these people have no respect, Trump's people have no respect for Social Security. And they do whatever they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm reading that they want to take they want to take college debt out of it. I don't have any college debt. I don't have. I didn't have a college debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's it seems as if, and I'm probably making a general statement, but it seems as if the middle class and the poor are the ones that are going to suffer, of course, the most. And them are the ones that voted for him. And because of their ignorance, I am sorry to say, or because they couldn't get off the Green Party, you know, soapbox or the Bernie soapbox. And actually think about, you know, the ramifications that we are all going to suffer now because, I don't know, were they temper tantrums? I don't know what they were. But, you know, as I've said many times, I was a Bernie supporter, but when it came down to it, I knew that I had to make a choice. It was not only for myself, but it was for my country. I felt that it was important to do that. So now we're all going to suffer because of a few, of a lot, not a few. But, you know, it just breaks my heart. Because I feel like we're in a war amongst ourselves also.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways. In a lot of different ways, people are suffering and are going to suffer more. You know,
the vote wasn't honest because, especially in cities like Detroit, all the votes weren't counted.
No, they were not. Absolutely not. And a lot of the ballots were destroyed. Absolutely not. Detroit was a disaster. You know, I don't know what happened in Macomb County. I'm still shocked. I live in Macomb County. I don't understand it. It's always been, as David said, blue collar. What happened is beyond me.
I know a woman in Philadelphia who voted for Trump because she's got slammed by health care. And what she doesn't understand when I try to explain to her that it wasn't Obama's point to hurt other people and to make their insurance go up.
No.
The point was to have everybody have health care.
Exactly.
Right. It was an insurance company who shut up the premiums.
Right, and it just went by income, that's all. You know, it went by your income. All of that is going to be scrapped. People are going to wake up and smell the roses. I mean, my health insurance went up, but I had nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. I had private insurance. So I don't blame the president for that.
No, I don't either. You just wanted everyone to have health care.
Exactly. And everyone should have health care. Everyone should have health care. You shouldn't have to go to the emergency room and you have a cold or a cough.
Intelligent thinking people are seeing this Affordable Care Act, which they call Obamacare, but the Affordable Care Act as something that hurt them. And so they voted Republican and they voted Trump because they feel it was a Democratic betrayal of some kind. And I don't understand where they're coming from because all you have to do is see Trump on TV a couple of times and you know he's not going to be a president.
No.
You know, so.
There's no doubt. I wonder if people are going to have what they call buyer's remorse. I really wonder about
that.
I'm
sure they are.
You know, as time goes on.
They are. But it's going to be too late. We've already voted him in.
I know. Well, what can we do about that, Robin? How do we get rid of him and Pence?
Well, President Obama already said what to do. Nobody listens.
What did he say? I missed it.
He said to stand your asses up and be heard in their faces and all these elected official faces. I don't care if they're Republican. I don't care if they're Democrat. He wants you to get in their faces. I don't, if it's every week, every day. You know, it's not about just posting on Facebook. It's not just about calling their offices. It's about showing up, you know, because of what they have done, you know. Because you see what they've done in North Carolina. When we stood up, what did they do? They changed the game. So they put in a set of rules for the new man that hasn't even taken office, so that the new man doesn't have any power, you know. So, you know, the same thing happened in Wisconsin, same thing happened in your state. As long as we keep taking it, they're going to keep on doing and putting their boot on our necks. Because he said, the president says the American people are lazy. They won't stand up. And he's right. He's right. You know, we're watching this train wreck.
And until something happens,
then. Right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Right.
Right. Why are we still acting like this shit is normal?
Right. Exactly.
See this train wreck. We see exactly what's going on. Why are we silent? Why?
Because
why is the media still? Yeah, but why is the media still acting like there's a campaign going on with the same garbage of Trump?
They're still doing the same. Very well said. I'm enjoying listening to you. You're very well spoken, and it's giving me things to think about.
Thank you. So why are, you know, it's six media corporations still controlling the narrative? You noticed WikiLeaks went away? Have you noticed Snowden went away? Have you noticed everything that is important to our core has just gone away? And it doesn't matter but anything but Trump.
Well,
they're still setting us up.
They're being paid very well. Don't forget that. Do not ever forget that. It's all about the money. This whole election has been all about the money. It was bought. It was paid for because of ratings. It was because it was a reality show. Who knows? But absolutely correct when you say that we are all being set up. We're all being played. Turn off your dumb TVs. If people would not watch the mainstream media for a month, things would change. I mean, there's a couple people still out there like Rachel Maddow, but, you know, how much longer until she gets paid, you know, just a few more
paid, and she did change, and I left her alone over a year ago. After her hubris book, I said, oh, shit, they got her.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this much. The problem is the information that we share and the articles that we share on Facebook, we have got to be selective and use independent journalists to share and leave that other shit alone. And that's what it is. We have to fact check ourselves and not just share the nonsense, because that's part of the white noise crazy, you know.
Because right now
all I'm seeing, we're just inundated with the same thing, and I even see some progressive groups, and they act like they're progressives, but they, to me, they remind me of the Tea Party. But they say they're progressives. And I see you. You don't think I see you, but I see you, you know? And we have to take control. And we have to, even if we write a couple of lines ourselves and use pictures or something, we have got to take our power back and use our words and stop sharing their articles. That's what we have to do.
Absolutely.
And David, you're a great writer. You know, you can help this too. But I know you're working all the time. But we need your writing now more than ever. And, you know, and your writing will help unify. We're not trying to divide people. The job is not to divide, because they've done a hell of a job dividing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The job is to bring everybody under the umbrella, because we're all drowning from being rained on. You know?
That's real.
Yeah, and that's where I think you could help too, you know. And we could all do our own part, but if we took that control back, we would be so much further ahead than just clicking to share, you know, and getting the first one out, you know. I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it when so many people are struggling and hurting. I just read an article from a friend's Facebook page where he says he walked past a lady who has a son in the military, okay? This is his mother at home. She's digging through the garbage for food. Do y'all know how many people are like that here? You don't hear about it. They don't want you to hear. That is what's important, you know? They don't want to do that, you know? It was so many people who didn't have a holiday dinner for Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm sorry, for Christmas. And I was included. I was one of them. I'm not too ashamed to say that, you know. But, I mean, do you honestly think people are going to give a shit about an election for struggling for 8 years and then through another 4 years of this shit? Do you honestly think that they give a shit? These people have lost their homes. They're in cars. They're on the street.
Who've lost
they're
their homes
are eating
out of garbage. Veterans that serve their country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared that, in, you know, that what is it going to be like 6 months from now if we don't get it together? It ain't about Democrat, and it's not about Republican. It's about human life, you know. And until we stop that, you know. And I just think, you know. And I've read your writing over the years. I just know you don't do it anymore like you used to. And you know, your writing was kind of like what's his name, Jim Wright, you know, where you lay out the narrative, it's structured, it makes sense, and boom, you know, you're like, okay, I get it. We have to get back to that.
Yes.
Or so many people are going to perish. They're already perishing, and they've already given up, you know, and these are the same motherfuckers, excuse my French, that we're looking for, these elected officials, and something is wrong. When your own congresspeople get shot with bullets and get killed, and your coworkers sit around and still didn't do anything, no, what they did was enact more laws so that people can carry guns, and they are setting us up. I'm telling you, every week there is something crazy here in my state. People have gone crazy. They're stabbing their mothers, slitting people's throats. They're killing all the family members. And people, you don't hear it on the news. Mm-hmm. It's going unchallenged, unspoken, everything, you know, so that we can keep up with this nonsense that these fools are doing that have no business in our government.
It's like
none.
Living
Robin, I want to give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you an example. In Texas earlier this year, where a mother, her name is Sheet. I can't remember what Sheet's name. She has two daughters. And the older daughter was getting married to a Mexican fellow. And I guess the mother, who's a Christian, evangelical Christian, born again, took offense to it and wanted to stop the wedding and what have you. And she just grabbed her gun. There was an argument. She grabbed her gun. Mm-hmm. And shot to death both her daughters. And it didn't come out for the media, the mainstream media.
Yeah.
But when it finally came out, it said, oh, you know, she was a kind-hearted person who, you know, had mental issues. Why the hell a person with mental goddamn issues is given a license for a gun? Why? Why? I mean, Jesus Christ.
And
in Iowa, for example, you know, they're teaching blind people to shoot. Blind people. And that don't make any goddamn sense. And the NRA have too much power. They have 3 million people in the NRA.
Yeah.
What is 3 million people compared to 350 million people who make up America? It's money, you know?
Yeah, but and then what they did was we're a social fucking experiment, excuse my French. Mm-hmm. So now the kids on campus who go to parties, drink, which is normal, the normal experience of college life. So you give them guns. And then you give them guns in their dorms. And then the guns can go inside the classrooms. So, you know, the teachers and the professors are going to get blown away. The students could get blown away. The athletes can get blown away. Do you see what they have set up?
Yes.
The social experience is going to kill us all. Right. But then when we go to places like football games, basketball games, we're subject to pat downs, monitors, you got a gun, yada, yada, yada. But, and now town hall meetings, they have to get to carry their guns at town hall meetings, right? Right?
Right.
If they get to carry their guns at courthouses, right? If it's a law to carry the gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the judge is sitting on the bench. If they rule against a case and rule the wrong way, guess what's going to happen? This, what I'm saying, though, is people are taking it like it's the new normal. You see where, even in my state, the road rage is out of control. They're killing people. They don't care who it is. They don't care if it's your grandpa. They don't care. They've lost their minds. And this is what they're doing. They are setting us up to turn on each other, kill it randomly. Because here is what I think. I think the powers that be have invested in funeral homes and everything so that they still stand to make money, that it's not about us. It's about the money, you know, because
also,
think about it.
But don't you think also, they talked about population control forever. Don't you think it could be a little bit about them too?
Yes. But see, Lori, people aren't getting it.
I know.
I'm sitting here explaining to y'all what they're doing, you know, and also in your state. In your state and even in North Dakota or wherever it was, remember when the coal ash plant spilled into the water and then Duke Energy and that poisoned the water? Do you know it's still leaking? It is still leaking. And none of those elected officials, Democrats or Republicans, you remember how they used to come to our aid and say, oh, no, we're not taking this. You're going to do something. You're going to do something else. They all stand back quietly looking, and they say nothing. The ultimate betrayal is kids and poison water. When they quit, when our government elected officials quit caring about your children, you no longer have a government that cares for the people. And I don't care what candidate up there that you keep reelecting, they don't care.
No. Nope.
They don't care. And we have to come to grips with that. And we have to unify onto one. Because if we unify, they're going to eventually go away. Nobody's going to vote. And the problem right now is we're not included in this, okay? It's a fight it's going to be a fight about the billionaires and the millionaires.
Yep.
Ultimately, that is the fight. It's not about people. They don't care. They don't care.
Yes.
They're going to keep their money.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish the point, Robin.
Well, all I'm saying is that We have to get ourselves together individually, and we have to stop fighting amongst ourselves, and we have to tell each other, like the young lady that was talking about Jewish, we need to stop that shit. It ain't about Jewish. It ain't about black. It ain't about white. It's not about Asian. It's not about Indian. It ain't about Muslim. It ain't about religion. It's about all of us collectively saying we love each other, we matter, we see things are messed up, we're not going to allow this to happen, and we have to get out of that matrix and get into our own thinking of unity. Unity is power. If we have unity, if we have a database to reach out to people, I don't care if we meet in the park one weekend. Remember how we used to have socials and stuff and get together and come together? We need to do that because everything else has left us behind. And if we stay on their accord, we are going to lose more and more and more. But if we get together as us one, you know, and do what we need to do to change things, I think we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm-hmm. I think.
But we need a communication system for that, too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Besides social media.
That's true, Lori. We don't communicate well in the United States.
Yep.
Well,
there is
it's because you've been programmed.
Well, there's a way to do it. There is
yeah.
a way to do it. We've talked about it on the show before, and we'll talk about it again. We have, and there's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
so
but we gotta. Yeah, but we gotta keep talking about it, Lori. And your plan with your friend is going to work. We have to do it now. We gotta do it right now.
Four of us on this phone call. Why aren't there 44?
Good question.
I can't worry about that. And some people, you know, in the real world, some people work around the schedule, and they may not get off and be here in time to listen to the show. Some people get off late. They come in and listen to the show after he uploads it again, so we can listen to it later. But we, but that's not it. That's not it. We're talking now. We're trying to solve and make our own plans. We can't worry about what others are doing. You know, we have to.
The thing is,
we got to stop it.
Yeah, the thing is, the point that you're making about the politicians not caring, if we took money out of the politics, the body politic, and go back to the basics where the candidate raise a specific amount and they have matching funds and everything. Instead of these super PACs and PACs putting in money, where the money comes from, they don't have the right by law to say where the money is from. So the money could be from China, could be from wherever, you know, and that's not giving power to the people. It's giving the politicians and the corporations and these individuals like Sheldon Adelson, whomever, the billionaires out there, yeah, to bang these partitions. So cut that apron string and close the revolving door where once a partition is out of office, whether by defeat or retire, there's not that revolving door where you join special interest and get millions of dollars. Because these special interest groups like NRA, Tobacco, Big Pharma, they'll put money in these different candidates to do their bidding, and these congressmen and congresswomen and senators sometimes don't read the bill. Is these big corporations write these bills, and all the senator or the congressperson have to do is, you know, vote yes or no, and these corporations tell them how to vote. If you don't vote my way, then I'm cutting you off financially. You know, so take the dark money out of politics and listen.
But how long? We've been saying that for 10 years. Has the Democrats done it?
One promote onevoicenow.org. Onevoicenow.org will give real power back to the people. Onevoicenow.org. People listening out there, I hope you go. It's www.oneorgnow.org. Let me say it again. www.onevoicenow.org.
Yes.
Because if we can vote on American Idol and different shows and try to keep up with Kardashians and other bullshit that don't really matter. And when at night these politicians change up the rules on us and we'll bitch about it afterwards, like the worked right state and women's rights. You know, should she have an abortion or not? It's the woman's body. She should have a final say. Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973. Why are we fighting this fight still? Why? You know?
Exactly.
But go ahead, Mary.
Well, with onevoicenow.org, we can fight all these fights because then it will be in the people's hands. And we will start in the cities, and then you go to the county, the city, the county, then you go to the state, then you go to the federal level. And it can work, but people just don't want to take the reins. I've been working on this for almost a year now. So, I mean, I'm ready whenever anyone else is ready to grab on. Check it out, www.onevoicenow.org. It's a fantastic idea. It's an innovative idea. It can work, and it can unite us all. We could all have a voice, and we could be in our homes doing, you know, you know, voting on what we want. And then once the politicians see that, they are going to be afraid.
Yeah, one voice now. One voice
now. www.onevoicenow.org. Mm-hmm. Been working on that for a while with David Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
we're going to talk about
doable.
We're going to talk more about that in the new year. He'll be on the show.
When you're off the air, I know how people can find this chat later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right,
sounds
so let's
great.
Wrap up now. Well, just above 20 minutes to wrap up. The final question is, what lessons did you personally learn from this election cycle, and where do we go from here? With Trump as president and Republicans in a majority in both state houses, governor's mansions, the White House, and the U.S. Congress?
Well, I've learned money talks. And if you don't have it, then you don't mean anything to anybody.
It's a sad state of affairs. It's a sad state of affairs to live in a country that has all the resources that we have, and we're supposedly the greatest country in the world, and we have turned into a shamble in my eyes. I think we're going to be laughed at because a country that would vote for someone like Donald Trump, who is the epitome of everything that's wrong in this country. It makes me want to cry, and 2017 is not going to be a great year for any of us unless we all decide that we're going to resist.
Yeah, how about you, Robin?
Here's what I think. I think that what we've been seeing and looking at are grounds for arrest. And from what I've been hearing, there have been arrest warrants issued for these elected officials. All of them. Y'all just don't hear about it, you know. You have to go to YouTube and all of them.
Well, Schneider should be in jail for Flint.
You know,
forget the emergency manager. Schneider should be in jail for Flint.
Right, and everybody is seeing what is taking place, and he should be arrested, just like Chris Christie should be arrested. They're all acting under a different law. There are no rules. There are no rules anymore.
Yeah, Republicans are corrupted pieces, bottom line. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It's not just them. It's not just them. It's the Democrats, too. I'm calling them both out. And what needs to happen is, you know how when your government takes over, you're supposed to have certain people to come in and say, you got to go to arrest them. When they become and using law against its own people, that becomes treason. And what we're seeing is treason. Our government is treason. They are creating laws that are unconstitutional, that are against us. And nobody has picked up the clue phone and said, hey, this isn't supposed to be that, because we have a right to stand up against these and have mass arrests. They need to be kicked out of office. But as long as we keep looking for them to solve our problems when they have created them because of abuse of power and official oppression against your own people, it's time for the marshals to come in and to arrest them. That's the only way we're going to get our country back where it should be, in our hands.
Yes, indeed.
You know?
There's not enough people like you willing to do that.
That's the problem. There's a few of us.
Yes, there is.
They just assume sit back and blame somebody else.
And they know that nobody's going to do anything. But if we talk about it like we're doing right now, and people listen and know that they have rights and know that the government is committing treason against us people, you know, it's like slavery. They're oppressing us all. But what they do is they use issues to divide us and keep us distracted and fighting each other. They'll use racism, or they'll use abortion, or they'll use those are the two things that they use to keep us divided.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell. And until we focus and redirect, they're going to keep doing it, and it's wrong. We have to take our power back, and that's all I'm saying, because I can't do this. Can't continue to live like this. I can't live off of less and less, and then they tell me to pick myself up by the bootstraps.
Yes.
I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to fight the same fights again, because they're already doing it. They'll want to talk about Social Security, the debt, abortion. Aren't we tired of having that conversation?
Yes.
Every 4 years. Martha, what's going on before I let you and Robin go? Any last word and final comments?
A whole election system has to be revamped, because we need to do away with the Electoral College. It didn't do anything to help us. It took the popular vote and made a shambles out of it.
Yep.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand. I don't understand what their, maybe I just don't understand what their job is. But they're getting paid to do a job. And
they're not
doing it because they're taking the popular vote, which was for Hillary, and turning it over to Trump. Because they're all Republicans. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Nope.
Yeah.
None of it does.
All right, ladies, well, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate, you know, you putting your time and effort by calling in.
Thank you so much.
You know, thanks for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. You guys keep up the good work, and thank you, Lori. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Lori.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you both.
All right. Y'all have a good evening.
Yes, have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so that was Martha in Michigan and Robin in Texas. Yeah, long-time listeners and long-time callers. Yeah, we kind of wish that, you know, more people call in and put their two cents in. But the thing I get is that, you know, people are shy, or as Robin said, people are at work and have to work around the clock to put food on the table and then listen to the show after the fact. Which, nothing wrong with that, you know. That's the listenership and the sharing and the commenting on Facebook and people liking us and putting that input. You know, it's really important that the message gets out there. Because we're in for a world of hurt with Donald Trump as president and Mike Pence worse. You know, because in my opinion, Mike Pence is worse than Trump because he's an evangelical, born-again, crazy person.
Yes, he is.
State,
He's governor of Indiana, and he wants women who have an abortion for whatever reason to name the child and have a death certificate. You know, that's just crazy. You know,
yeah.
And he curtailed Planned Parenthood. He basically locked down all Planned Parenthood in the state. He forces women to have ultrasound, even when it's not needed. You know, at some point, it should have to stop. It's just madness. And the people who voted for Trump, I hope you suffer the most, because Donald Trump has no experience, Twitters a lot, he talks a lot, and ever since being voted for president-elect, he hasn't gone to one national security meeting. What kind of bullshit is that? 2 weeks ago, you were supposed to have his preferred press conference. You're supposed to have his first press conference 2 weeks ago, and he canceled it. Why? Because he's chicken shit. He cannot fit media. He is bogus, and he's full of shit. I hope Trump segregates listening and hearing. Your man, Donald Trump, is full of shit. And I give him 3 to 6 months, and you'll see him either abscond the presidency, resign, or be impeached because of his business interests. Go ahead, Lori.
Oh, I was just going to go along the list of his cabinet picks. Just a few more.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give us all an idea of what we have in store. The Labor Secretary is Andrew F. Puzder. Mr. Trump's expected choice is the chief executive of DKE Restaurants and a donor to his campaign, who has criticized the Obama administration's labor policies. So what does that tell you? You know, the new secretary will be in charge of keeping Mr. Trump's promise to dismantle many Obama-era rules covering the vast workforce of federal contractors. That means lower wages and loss of jobs. That's all it tells me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Yes.
How about the Small Business Administration?
Linda McMahon. Linda fucking McMahon from the World Wrestling Entertainment. Linda McMahon. One of the biggest industries in America, and she's small business. What kind of bullshit is that? That's bogus. You know why? She and Betsy DeVos gave $9 million to the Trump campaign, the highest bidders, the highest contributors, and that's where they get position and post in administration. You know?
Is that
And let's remember that Linda McMahon ran twice for the U.S. Senate in Connecticut and lost. She paid something like accumulatively $500 million in primaries and the election itself, and she lost miserably, horribly. And I'm glad that she lost, because she's one of them fascist pigs. I'm glad she lost.
Yep.
I know she'll have, you know, she'll be the SBA, Small Business Association director. Jesus Christ, what's that? That's not drain the swamp. You know? Good God Almighty. And you voted for this America? Jesus Christ, man.
Well,
go ahead, continue.
We need to give them a little more of a preview. I mean, you know, let's keep going here. How about the EPA Administrator, Scott Pruitt? Mr. Trump has selected the Oklahoma Attorney General, who is close ally of the fossil fuel industry. Think about that. The EPA Administrator. Think about that for a moment. Wow. Conflict of interest once again. What do you think? You think our clean energy is going to go down the toilet? Do you think our fracking is going to continue? You know, we're on the roadway to hell is what we're on. The runway, the roadway to hell.
Is Sarah Palin going to be still Interior Secretary, because she's drill baby drill?
Let me see. I haven't seen her. I've not seen her yet. No, not yet.
Good.
I don't see her yet.
Keep her private, citizen, please. Cannot stand that woman. She's crazy. She's worse than Trump. She's Trump with a vagina, basically. The woman has no sense. She talks through her ass. It makes no earthly sense. You know, it's worse than this woman. Before I forget, I want to remind people out there,
that's coming up on the 19th of January. There will be the Festival of Freedom. You could go to, let me see, they have a Facebook group. Just type in Festival of Freedom Opposed or Opposed, and it will come up. I'm on the page right now. A friend of ours at a show, Ronin Hen, sent me the link. And just type in, it's a public group, Festival of Freedom Opposed, Not My Press, like hashtag Not My Press. You could find it there and everything. Because, you know, women supposed to be marching, protesting Donald Trump starting January 19th. And, you know, they're going to have this music festival. And you know, they put things together to really oppose Donald Trump's inauguration. You know, so check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Type into your Facebook search engine, Festival of Freedom Opposed, hashtag Not My Press. And it will come up and learn more about it. It's going to be about music and, you know, who doesn't like music? Entertainment.
Exactly.
You know, it'll be dancing, videos, everything you can think of. You know, so, you know, support and everything. Thank you, Ronin Hen, for sharing that. And my last comment really is Hillary Clinton. No candidate is a perfect candidate. And, you know, I'm so sorry that she didn't win the presidency because of some shenanigans with the Electoral College and, you know, Wisconsin and, you know, wherever else, Michigan especially. And my thing is that the Democrats in these states, and they should bring back the 50-state strategy, and not because it's Nebraska or Oklahoma, which has always been Republican, or Utah. We should fight for each and every state and visit each and every state. Even Barack Obama, when he was running the two times, he went to every state and every nook and cranny and met people. But Hillary didn't do that. She didn't go to Wisconsin, period. Just took it for granted that, Wisconsin, you know, we got it. No. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we thank her for her service for many years. She's been in public service for as long as I've been alive, you know, since 1974. You know, so, you know, we appreciate somebody who is gifted and qualified and able like Hillary Clinton. And, you know, there's talk that she may come back in 2020 to run for president. What do you think about that? Does she stand a chance, or should she just, you know, call it a day, call it a career, and just move on?
I personally think that she's going to call it a day, a career, but I don't think that she's going to disappear. I still think she's going to continue her work, be it for children, for women's rights, for, you know, the Clinton Foundation. I still believe that she's going to be in the public eye. And I hope that she fights alongside of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. We need that. We need a strong voice. And I think that even though she didn't, you know, of course, become president, I think that she still can be a strong leader, a strong leader, no doubt. And, you know, so let's not count her out. Maybe she's taking some time now to, you know, regenerate, think, you know, enjoy her family, her grandchildren, and maybe some new strategy. Who knows? You know, we've got a fight coming up, people. We have a fight coming up, and we have to learn. We have to fight it. We've got to do something, you know.
As Robin Wright, that we need Democrats to step up to the plate and stop acting cowardly. I'm just paraphrasing, but, you know, stop turning the other cheek. Because when I shared this program tonight with different groups I'm in, shared with 48 different groups, about probably 20, 30 people, individuals, and they're saying, they're resenting the fact that I use, you know, the term Democrats acting cowardly. You know, but there's no other way to do it. You know, that's what the grassroots feeling. That, you know, Democrats always turn and give Republicans everything they want, you know, and there's no compromise from the Republican side. And until the Democratic Party, the DNC, some
you know, internalizing and see what went wrong. We all know what went wrong, you know, but that's a show in itself. You know, they need to grow from a root, grassroots up. You know, what they have now is corporatism, and what we should do is pull it up by the roots and it's a bit progressive again, because, you know, this is a party of JFK, of FDR, of LBJ, and this is what saved America after World War II. And Republicans trying to dismantle everything. Why? Because of 30-second sound bites and because of demagoguery and all that shit. And eventually the people voted, as Martha said, we have, you know, voters' remorse. It's just a pity that, you know, the good people will suffer with it. You know, so, yeah, let's unite as a Democratic Party, put the leadership, their feet to the fire, and tell them the grassroots is what the information should get from them, because they are hurting every day. Some people have 2-3 jobs. And the bills can't wave to each other. That's how hard it is, people having it. But yet still Wall Street closing out at 15,000 points a day, you know, 30,000 points a day. And there's no trickle-down effects. The only trickle-down you feel is the rich man, the 1% pissing on you. That's a trickle-down effect. Trickle-down economics has not worked since 1964 when Barry Goldwater was pushing it. Reagan fucked it up totally with deregulation and the rest is history. Come on, people. Let's act together, unite behind one common cause. Everything or most things are Republicans' fault. It is their fault, not the fault of Barack Obama, not the fault of Democrats, but Republicans. Just remember that. So when 2018 roll around, we'll have no excuse. We'll have to vote Democratic. And that's my say.
Well, I do agree with you to a point. In 2018, yes, there has to be some change. But I'm also afraid that things keep going the way that they are. People will get tired, and then they won't vote because they get mad, and they have their temper tantrums. So we have to have a separate plan in effect, as we, you know, talked about earlier. And we'll talk about more, but we need that separate plan, because once we have our separate plan in effect, then we will have more power. Our voices will be heard. We will be able to get those issues out there, and the things that are important to people will become noticed. Right now, nothing is noticed. People feel like they're invisible, and people that are not hurting right now today because they have a job, because they're, you know, able to travel, their families are doing well, you know, they probably see, oh my gosh, we have this president that, you know, has no experience, but it's not going to affect me. But the minute that it does affect that person will be very upset. And that person will be sorry. So I guess that's what I guess my point is, until your toes are stepped on, you don't pay close attention. You know, people that are suffering are the ones that understand the most. People that are threatened by losing their benefits or their pensions or being, you know, having paid, you know, more tax, those are the people that care. And those are the people that will make the change, not the people that are not hurting. They won't. We'll keep going.
Yes.
It has to be us. It has to be the ones in the trenches.
And unfortunately, George Michael passed away on Christmas Day. 30-year career, spanning generations. Yeah. And he was a legend, a pioneer, songwriter, producer, singer, you know. And, you know, I remember him starting out with Wham, and he was always good. He's one of the good singers, you know, who can really sing. Unlike, well, we have no Justin Bieber and whomever else who's auto-tune. I'm not really a good singer, but, you know, just for people listening.
Did they say, David, how he passed away? Did they say?
No, They didn't say, but they did say that it wasn't suspicious means, but, you know, he passed away because the past he has had problems with drugs and alcohol, you know. So, I mean, we're human. Everybody have the flaws and everything. So let's not judge him or jump the gun or what have you. We just wish his family and his fans and his supporters and everybody who loved them, you know, well in this hard time, you know. And he was young, 53 years old, you know, so to die, however he died, we're so sorry for that. You know, just all the faith and everything. So that's our show for tonight. I want to thank Martha from Michigan for calling in, Robin from Texas from calling in, everybody for, you know, commenting on Facebook and the different Facebook groups, liking and sharing. And since night, we've had something like near 30 new likes on Facebook. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. So we leave out now with a George Michael popular tune. The name of this tune is Careless Whispers from 1985, 1986, thereabouts. Until next time, I'm Dave Franklin in Florida. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, everyone, and Happy New Year. We'll be back on next year. We'll be fighting strong. We'll fight the big fight and love you all. Take care. Laurie Pickup from Michigan. Bye. I loved it.
Your favorite song from George Michael?
Yep, one of my favorites. Yes, it is.
Oh, this is it? Oh, okay. Mine too. Yep. Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorites. Absolutely.
So that's it. Let's be over here and have a good rest of the week. We'll talk to you later. Props to Kamala Harris, new senator from California. Fight them Republicans, girl. Love you. Join us again next time for another edition of Kitchen Politics 123 with Dave and Lori. Have a pleasant evening, pleasant rest of the week. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, good night, and good luck.
I gotta have faith.
Mm-hmm.